This is the Vancouver Weather State Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, we should say host, but also realtors with Oakwind Realty in downtown Vancouver. So excited for today. We've got Robert Hogue. He's the assistant chief economist at RBC or Royal Bank of Canada. Past guest, fan favorite, super insightful guy. Loves to talk about the market, macro, micro level. Really great episode today.
Yeah, I'm always excited to talk to Robert because he's not a Vancouver guy, but he focuses on, they do regional analysis, obviously, at RBC. They do a broad Canadian outlook. So he knows the markets, he knows Canadian real estate, and it's great getting his perspective on what's going on in British Columbia, what's going on in Vancouver, how does it relate to Toronto? Not very well, but stay tuned for that. But also two other questions that we always love to talk to economists about. What are rates going to do? He has great insight there, especially as the war in the Middle East rages, bond yield volatility, oil price shocks, all the rest that everyone's talking about. So stay tuned for that. It is a great episode.
Yeah, Matt. And before we get to that, of course, we have the segment that remains nameless.
Adam, we always do these introductions to the show right before they're released. So this one is literally ripped from the headlines today, Adam. On April 16th, that's today, 2026, CREA, the Canadian Real Estate Association, and Royal LePage both revised their 2026 Canadian real estate outlooks. Now, Adam, they both went in the same direction. I'm going to keep this very simple for you. Did they revise up, down, or sideways?
Sideways.
And the bonus question is, why? Now, I'm going to give you four options. Both up, driven by falling mortgage rates and strong spring demand. This is...
Why are you laughing?
Both down, driven by the oil shock from the Iran conflict, pushing inflation and bond yields higher, plus US trade and tariff uncertainty. Both sideways, citing a stable macro backdrop. Or D, CREA down, Royal LePage up, reflecting disagreement on the rate outlook.
Before
you just shout out, Adam, the answer, I feel like this was a fairly easy one, but if you get it wrong, it will be wildly embarrassing. Before you shout that out, I do want to highlight one of our listings that we have right now over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Fantastic listing. This is 101 1864 Francis Street. This is literally a quarter block from Boza Foods on Victoria. Just a great pocket where you can, you know, walk to Boza or in the other direction, you'll hit Pepino's for some spaghetti. I really think that North Commercial area is so great. And the people that have been coming through this listing all say the same thing. We've been in the area for years and we love it and we want to stay. The exciting thing about this listing, Adam, it comes with parking, storage, a lot of upgrades to the building and the unit. It's 527 square feet. But here's the really exciting thing. Price, Adam, offered at $428,000 for sale right now. If you want to see this listing, check it out at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. And while you're there, click Sell With Us, where you can download the sold plan to get your property ready for market, the spring market, which we are currently in. And yeah, this is a fantastic listing. So definitely go check it out.
Okay, Matt, back to the question. So it's basically up, down, sideways, or one set up or one set down.
Exactly.
All right. I'm going to go with a little bit of disagreement between CREA and Royal LePage.
Walk me through the disagreement. Wait.
CREA down.
So are you saying, I feel like you have a thoughts on Phil Soper, past guest fan favorite, the eternal optimist over at Royal LePage.
Well, super, super bright guy. He's been on our show. I do feel like, yeah, it's interesting. Tough to say, but I guess they're disagreeing. I think they're both saying marginal different, like CREA is saying down slightly and Royal LePage is saying up slightly. But to me, it feels like a lot of people are feeling like a fairly balanced market this year.
Right. Well, Adam, I don't want you to have egg on your face here, but both have revised down as of today for the Canadian real estate outlook for the rest of the year. So CREA cut its national sales growth forecast. They had projected 5.1% over last year in January. Now they're down to 1% over last year. Okay. So that's just the sales volume. Royal LePage forecasted home prices up 1% in Q4 2026 year over year. And that is down from where they were at the start of the year. Both CREA and Royal LePage have cited CUSMA and, of course, the U.S.-Iran conflict as the backdrop for revising down. The interesting thing about Phil, and I think CREA would say the same, is these external uncertainties that are really roiling the market, they can change on a dime, right? So take it for what it's worth. I feel like we've talked to a lot of, actually a couple guests that are coming on in Brendan Lacerda from Moody's is coming back on. We just talked to him. Same thing. A lot of people are like, hey, I can only forecast out tweet by tweet here. So take it for what it's worth.
Well, we've got a fantastic conversation, Matt, with Robert Hogue, Assistant Chief Economist at RBC. Really a ton of takeaways from today's conversation. You're going to learn a lot and a lot of insight into what the market's going to do for 2026. Can't wait for this one. Attention realtors, homebuyers, and investors. If you missed out on Atlin at Clayton Crest by Zentera Developments, here's your second chance.
Atlin sold 80% in just 3 months, Adam. And because of that success, Zentera is launching Building 2, Butte.
Located in West Clayton and walking distance to the future SkyTrain station, prices are still low for now, but not for long.
Homeowners across the Lower Mainland are using equity from their current homes to invest in West Clayton, ahead of the SkyTrain and the next market upswing. Because when that SkyTrain is complete and the market rebounds, it'll be too late.
This, Matt, is how wealth is built. Find out why Atlin sold so fast and register now at buttecondos.ca. That's B-U-T-E condos.ca.
Hi, I'm Michael Yu.
And I'm Morgan Brown. And we're the founders of Oakwin Realty. We have 9 offices across British Columbia.
Serving all major markets of BC. If you're an agent out there, just like Adam and Matt, who happen to be licensed at Oakwin, please reach out to us at oakwin.com/join and type into that message box, the rep, and you'll receive a free gift and a promotion when you meet one of our leaders.
Thanks so much, and we're looking forward to meeting with you.
See you soon.
Okay, so we're here with Robert Hogue. He's the Assistant Chief Economist at RBC or Royal Bank of Canada. How you doing, Robert?
Very good. How are you?
Great. Yeah. Thanks so much for taking the time, Robert. We should say past guest, fan favorite. I don't know if you remember being on the show, but it was a couple years back now. So thanks again for joining us. Again, for listeners who are not familiar with you, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, well, I worked at the RBC, Royal Bank of Canada, as you point out. I'm an economist. I cover provincial economies, but I spend a lot of my time on Canada's housing markets. It's markets across the country, not just in Vancouver, but elsewhere as well. And as you know, the topic of housing has been kind of a center of attention for the last little while. So I've been pretty busy on that file in recent years, including over the past few months.
Right.
Just out of curiosity, did you come to real estate, basically, did you fall into real estate or was real estate kind of focus of yours prior to your current position?
It was duties that I signed on when I joined RBC. Prior to working at RBC, I've worked in many years as an economist looking at various economic sectors, but not necessarily including construction and the wood product industry. So it was kind of tangential to the housing market, housing construction. But it's ever since I've joined RBC now, almost 18 years ago. I've inherited that file. That's something that RBC had been monitoring very closely prior to me joining them with a housing affordability report. I took that over back in 2008, and I've been running with this ball ever since.
So Robert, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on the show is RBC Economics just put out in the Focus on Canadian Housing a new report where it basically describes the start of the spring market as a mixed start in Canada. Can you maybe talk a little bit about basically what the state of the market is in Canadian real estate right now?
Yeah, well, we've got different pictures, which is not unusual, right? And typically, the local housing markets differ quite significantly from coast to coast. And this is what, you know, what we've seen in March. There's got some signs that, you know, maybe we're close to the bottom of this cycle. In Toronto, for example, home resales on a month-to-month basis increased just a tiny bit, but in other markets, our own estimates of seasonally adjusted monthly changes still point towards some weakness, you know, Vancouver being one of those markets, but also markets even like Calgary that's been doing okay, but not as strong as it was just maybe a year or two ago. And some of the markets that are doing kind of so-so, like Montreal, for example, where, you know, activity is still kind of holding up, but on a kind of low kind of a downward trend. So, you know, and as you know, there's been a lot of kind of expectations about the spring market because this winter has been pretty soft and a lot of people have been holding their breath, you know, hoping to see a pop in activity in the spring. And it doesn't look really like March was it. No, it's not. Spring is not over yet. This is like the peak of the for the market and in most places in Canada. So there we could still see some, you know, a little bit, you know, kind of strong, more vigorous activity in the coming months. But as far as March is concerned, it was really a mixed picture with some little improvement, but still some weakness out there.
Robert, it's interesting. The one word I picked up on there, it was a long answer, interesting answer, but you mentioned the bottom. The real estate, there's a real estate forum that just took place in Vancouver. And I think one of the takeaways for a lot of people was a lot of people out here are feeling like we're kind of, we are hitting the bottom. I feel like there's been a lot of false bottom calls over the last 3-4 years. What signs are you seeing that are actually point to now being the real bottom?
Well, first of all, activity is so low in parts of Canada and Vancouver included. No, especially when you consider, you know, how the population has grown over the past many years, the level of activity today looks pretty low. So our view is, you know, what could drive it even, you know, lower at this point, where there's a lot of economic uncertainty, but still interest rates have come down. We're looking at the labor market, for example. There's our up and downs from month to month, but it looked like the peak of the unemployment rate in across Canada and many regions is behind us. So labor market, you know, it seems to us that it's improving. So all the kind of the context should be improving slightly. What's lacking at this point is confidence. But how low can confidence go, right? So, you know, there might be some signs that we're close to the bottom. And as you point out, you're absolutely right. We've seen a number of false starts over the past 2 years where the drop in interest rate, now remember back in 2024, we thought, okay, this should clear the way for a fairly sustained recovery from coast to coast. And we did see some signs in the back half of 2024. But then the trade war last year kind of put a damper on that recovery. More recently, we thought that this past fall things would start to pick up again, and then now there's the Iran war that's adding another layer of uncertainty with spiking oil prices and spiking prices at the gas station, right? So these are making the picture very foggy, but the odds are, or the hope is that some of that, when some of that fog will lift, then that recovery will get in place. But again, just to set expectations here, our view from the beginning, despite all the false starts, was that there should be a recovery unfolding now that interest rates have come down from peak levels, but it's going to be a gradual recovery. There's still a lot of issues that the housing market, especially like Vancouver and Toronto, where affordability is still a major issue, that's going to slow down the recovery. And also at the time when the immigration policy in Canada has changed dramatically over the past year and a half, and we're starting to see the numbers look really weak on with respect to population, for example. So those are kind of headwinds there that will keep any kind of recovery very gradual going forward.
Robert, what stood out to me looking at the report is just how different the various markets in Canada are behaving. We see Toronto seems to be ticking up. Vancouver is stuck in low gear, as the report suggests. Montreal is rebalancing. Calgary is holding. I think Edmonton's kind of in that similar holding pattern. What are your thoughts about how these markets are behaving so differently? Like, why is that?
Well, I would argue it's normal that you have a very wide mix of outcomes across Canada with respect to the housing market. I mean, everything has to do with the local conditions. There's obviously a broad macroeconomic landscape that they all are subject to, but the local conditions usually take over. Take, for example, inventory, right? Some markets like Vancouver and Toronto, we've seen a big buildup in inventory over the past year and a half, 2 years now, but a little bit more. And not to suggest that we have oversupply or excess inventories, but they're abundant. There's a lot more supply out there. There's a lot buyers can pick and choose. Buyers can be patient. Whereas in other markets like Montreal, for example, even if inventories has increased, it's still pretty tight. So buyers still, if you're interested, if you want to buy a home in a certain neighborhood, when one comes up for sale, you need to still act pretty quickly. Whereas the dynamics are very different in other markets, like Toronto and Vancouver, for example. So these are kind of examples, obviously, like population flows are also played differently and depending on what market. So these make the local conditions vary considerably from market to market.
Robert, can we maybe zoom in a little bit on Toronto and Vancouver, which seem to be the two urban centers that a lot of people are focused on, and especially us, of course, in Vancouver. What are your thoughts on why Toronto is ticking up at this moment? It strikes me that tariff impacts are hitting Ontario in a way that they're not hitting British Columbia and Vancouver. And yet it seems like at least a year ago, Toronto was in a much worse spot than Vancouver. And now it seems like it's outperforming.
But first of all, let's not overplay the 1 month, 1.6% increase from month to month in Toronto. That follows a decline of about 22% in the prior 3 months. So let's not overplay it. We're just observing that the market, that decline seemed to have stabilized in Toronto in March. It could be an early sign that this is getting closer to bottom. It could be premature, but if we look at the level of activity in Toronto, it's still weak. It is by no means a market that seems to be shaking off its slump and on its way to be a lot more robust. We just observed one very small, tiny increase in March, whereas in other markets we have not seen this. Right? At least not the way we've calculated seasonally adjusted numbers, and we'll have a better sense when the Canadian Real Estate Association publishes the monthly numbers. I believe next week. For the month of March. So we'll have the official numbers on a seasonally adjusted basis, and we'll have a better sense of how the various markets have fared in March. But it could be, we could have seen an early sign that the housing market in Toronto is stabilizing.
What do you think is driving the soft market in Vancouver? And we've talked a lot about uncertainty on this show, and I know you mentioned uncertainty, but rates have obviously come down. There's some real opportunities for buyers out there. Prices have come down. Like, what are you seeing as the factor driving the current state of the Vancouver market?
Well, there's obviously the confidence for sure. But again, it's a market, despite the fact that affordability has improved, it's still for many, many buyers an unaffordable market. Whereas those who can maybe afford it are really stretching it. So there's like that creates strain, a certain pressure to hold back. And when there's no when there's a lot of inventory out there, then there's no rush. Like if you're a potential buyer and you know you're debating whether you should enter the market or not, and you're looking at affordability and how if you were to buy a home, how that would translate into your monthly payments, for example, how you're going to carry that purchase. If you think, yeah, look, I'm going to be stretched, let's wait because prices are coming down. There's a lot of options out there. So there's no real rush to move in. That contributes to the softness, right? There's very little action. And it becomes self-fulfilling because you know, if you're a buyer, you're holding back. It means maybe other potential buyers are holding back. And meanwhile, prices are declining. So there's very little action until one day when there's going to be that prices have fallen to certain levels that you know matches the strike price of potential home buyers that are on sideline. Then that could become a sign that, okay, some buyers make their moves, start to buy, and then things start to tighten. When prices start to stabilize, start to rise, then it becomes self-fulfilling the other way. We're not quite at that point yet. And so we're continuing to see softness in the market. The uncertainty, obviously, the economic and geopolitical is not helping motivate those who are on the sideline. And we know there's a lot of potential homebuyers on the sideline. It's just the conditions are not right for them to make a move. And odds are the conditions may not be good for them to over the next few months. It might take a little bit longer for them to jump back in the market.
Sounds to me, Robert, like you're describing a typical real estate cycle. In your mind, is this exactly what's taking place? We're just at the bottom of a typical real estate cycle, or is this time something different?
It is typical in its kind of dynamics. What's atypical is it's a boom bust kind of sector, right? Now, when things are hot, they get really hot, especially in Vancouver. But then there's like historically, it attracts a lot of investment. There's a lot of deconstruction, and then you get an overbuilt situation, and then prices got too high too quickly. Then you know, demand stops, and then the whole cycle goes the other way. So in that sense, those dynamics are at play, except that the boom prior was so strong. And it's true, not just in Vancouver, but across the country, because of very unusual circumstances, right? During the pandemic, when interest rates fell, like the policy rate fell to almost zero and mortgage rates fell under 2%. That's something we had never seen before. If you consider if you correct for inflation, a real interest rate were negative. So it was almost like clear that it would attract a lot of people into the market. So that made this boom even hotter. And now the bust part of it is, you know, it's probably deeper and it's going to take by a long period of time relative to what we've seen in history.
In thinking about the year ahead, you know, a lot of people have been talking about Kuzma as a potential risk. Lots of other, obviously we have a war in Iran right now, but how do you see this year playing out in terms of activity levels in Vancouver?
Yeah, it's a context where interest rates probably got to the as low as they're going to get. In our view, we don't expect the Bank of Canada to cut interest rate despite, you know, the war in Iraq and you know, review this summer. And with all the uncertainty, our view is that the Bank of Canada is done cutting rates and is going to leave it its policy rate to where it is through the end of this year. And we've already seen now it's been very volatile, but longer term interest rates, so bond yields have been quite volatile lately. There too, we think that they are as low as they're going to get this cycle. So in a way, maybe the realization there might be a lot of potential homeowners who are hoping to see further cuts in interest rate and quite potentially if they don't see that and they've got economists like me saying, look, they're not, interest rates are not going to get any lower, it might be sufficient for them to say, okay, well, we've waited long enough, let's move in. So it could be part of a rebuilding of, if that is mixed with, you know, let's say positive developments, with this kind of ceasefire in Iran holds up, and then, you know, the pressure starts to ease globally, economic uncertainty starts to lift, that could help the market stabilize. Now, our view for BC, now we don't do forecasts at the local level, but for BC, our view is that when we look at 2026 as a whole, home resale activity is going to be a little bit weaker than what we saw in 25, which was not that strong. So further declines on an annual basis. Now it's probably the weakness is front loaded. It's earlier this year. We might see the market start to recover over the second half of this year, but it's still going to be pretty sluggish overall. In the meantime, price correction is likely to continue. Again, it's because of affordability issues that buyers, you know, will want to see prices come lower for them to make a move. So further slight price declines. I'm not talking here like falling off a cliff and major correction, but further, the way the price correction has been evolving to date, right? It's just like at the 5-6% of a year-over-year decline kind of rate. This is not a massive drop-off, but yet this is not a market that's, I would say, tight enough to see a bit more competition between buyers to, you know, and get the prices to stabilize and rise.
Two questions here for you, Robert. One is, for people out there that are students of the market, what would you be watching? Would you be watching inventory levels primarily?
Yep.
Also, I mean, there was a jobs report this morning, timestamped April 10th. It seemed like, at the very least, not as bad as the last jobs report, if I remember correctly. Like, should we be watching the economy, the general Canadian economy?
Right. But of course, yeah, of course, the general state of the economy will play a role. But more locally, I think where I'm paying a lot of attention to is inventory. Now, it looks maybe inventory, when you look at the trend, may be peaking in Vancouver and Toronto, for example. It's still a bit early on, but we'll probably need to have that another 2 or 3 months to have a better sense if that's the case. But to me, that's key to stabilize prices. And once the price starts to stabilize, then it might be kind of a signal that for those buyers who are waiting for the bottom of the market to make their way in at the time when they realize that interest rates are not going to get any lower.
I'm just thinking, is there anything that's surprising in Canadian real estate right now for you?
Not entirely. I mean, maybe the surprising is how depressed the new home market is. Clearly, investors have completely vacated new developments. New condos is essentially very, almost like zero new condo developments being started. Hopefully, the various tax rebate that the government, especially in Ontario, but at the federal level, providing some funding towards that end to make it a buying a new unit, whether it's a condo or whether it's a single detached home, more attractive, might get things started, but it's the degree to which investors have completely vacated the market. To me, is that it's a bit surprising. Not entirely surprising, because usually you would see some contrarians out there who would make their way in the market and trying to scoop up properties that when prices are declining. We're not seeing. There's some of it, but not that much out there. And I would have thought we would see a little bit more of it.
If somebody, Robert, you're not a real estate agent, but maybe we'll pretend you are for a second here. You're sitting down with a client. They're thinking they're going to sell in the next year in Vancouver, but maybe even just broadly speaking, you know, British Columbia. Are you saying sell now, 6 months from now, a year from now? What would be your advice in terms of selling if you were, you know, not in a huge rush, but we're talking 12 to 18 months, you're going to sell?
Right. And to me, I can never give you kind of a general answer. Because as you know, those are major decisions. And there's a lot more than the market that or market conditions that go into those decisions, right? And there's there could be some personal, major event. It could be, you just have a new baby and your current home is not right. So it may not, whether the demand and supply in the market may not be the primary factor into your decision. And if you were to ignore your other possibly bigger factors and just trying to time the market, you could end up making big mistakes. This is now as smart as my entire team is on the economy. We don't always get it things right, and trying to time the market perfectly has been always a very difficult thing to do, as you can imagine. So I usually stay away from trying to give advice with respect to the timing or anything, the decisions. I think it's always seek help from professionals, from your banker, as well as not just the market, but all the other factors from your professional life, your personal life, and other factors that could be of higher priority than where the market is or likely to be in 6 months from now.
Robert, I'm thinking about, I think it was over 1 million Canadian households are expected to renew their mortgage in 2026. Are you feeling like there's been fear of this year of people defaulting on their mortgages? Where are we at with that? And do you see concern there?
Yeah, I think we're getting certainly signals that there's stress out there. But from what we can gather from the statistics, it's not morphed into what we feared just a few years ago of this kind of mortgage renewal cliff where you've got large number of Canadians running into financial difficulties and having to default on their mortgage. Now, mortgage delinquencies are rising, but they're still, generally speaking, very low. They're coming from exceptionally low levels during the pandemic, and now they're back to about where they were before the pandemic, which was historically low. But nonetheless, they're rising, and they do know that the situation does vary across the country. Delinquencies are higher than they were before the pandemic in Ontario and BC, for example, and clearly that's likely a reflection of the stresses from affordability and the fact that those are the Canadians with the bigger, the biggest mortgages. So clearly they're facing more stress. But at this stage, we have not reached a critical mass that for us would be a sign of like a broader trouble that could have some more, dire implications for the macro economy, for example. So there is stress, and the stress is probably rising and will likely continue rising in the coming months, probably well into 2027. But it will remain contained overall.
Can we talk a little bit about, and I don't know if RBC puts out kind of forecasting numbers as of the moment, but it sounds like the general outlook for 2026 is slow price declines, if I understand what you've said so far, Robert. So maybe looking 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, do you have any thoughts on where the market would be or will be?
Yeah, I do. And when you say price decline, this is our view is still in the markets that are experiencing price decline. So mainly kind of in BC and Ontario and Alberta to a certain extent, whereas other regions of Canada, they're not seeing price declines. And in our view, we might see the pace of price increases kind of slow down, but we still think that prices will be resilient. Now, our view through the medium to longer term, this is where the lack of construction or the lack of pre-construction sales today becomes a worry, because it means that it's supply that's not initiated, not like home starts are declining. And that means that, as you know, it takes many years, especially if you think of condo projects that can take easily 4 or 5 years to from starts to completion. It means that the new supply down the road is going to be minimal. And this is likely to come at the time when the immigration policy that's being corrected today will have run its course. And we'll be back to an immigration policy that will see the numbers of newcomers coming to Canada looking like what we had, say, about 10 years ago, somewhere around there, such that population in Canada will start to increase again. Probably my best guess would be at around the 1% mark. Right now, we're seeing basically zero growth in population in Canada. So when you put the two together, supply picture that will generate very few, if any, in some markets, new homes at the time when population is going to grow again, and therefore fundamental demand for housing is going to grow. This could spell another round of tight supply and tremendous pressure on the housing stock at that point to accommodate newcomers and people who want to start their own household, which could lead to higher prices at that point. And so all the efforts and what we're witnessing today in terms of improving housing affordability could be in jeopardy in 2 to 3 to 4 years time. So this is a big worry that we have for especially the markets like Toronto and Vancouver, where the pipeline, the construction pipeline, there's a major air pocket that is getting into it. There's still a lot of units under construction today, but those will get completed over the next year or two. And I'm worried about what's going to come after. This big air pocket is going to go run through that pipeline, and then we're going to end up with a trickle at the time when demand is going to pick up again.
And it sounds like that demand, you're thinking potentially 2029? Is that when that...
Could be earlier. Yeah, it could be 28. Let's put it this way. Our current basis for a forecast, let's put it this way, for the medium term, is that this population growth stalling will last in 26, 27. By 28, things are going to start picking up again. So it's my guess is that probably 28 and 29 are going to be a time when the improvement in affordability will come at risk again.
Well, Robert, maybe we'll leave it there, but we do have this segment called the Five Wire. Not sure if you remember from last time, but five lighthearted questions we end every show with. Can you stick around for that?
Sure.
First question is one book that you've read recently that you would recommend for our listeners.
Oh, this time, I think it's called This Time is Different, like a big book on looking at past crises and thinking that today's crisis is different. I think that's the name of it.
Yeah,
is the argument that everyone thinks this time is different, but of course they kind of play out and they rhyme, I guess.
It's kind of the thinking that the world can be different and the outcomes can be different from kind of those kind of crises. This is not necessarily a book about real estate. This is more about the economy and more at large.
Mm-hmm. In the last few years, Robert, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
Doing a lot more exercise. the older you get, you realize that you need to constantly exercise.
That's a great one. What have you been binge watching lately, or a movie recommendation?
We've been a lot of TV series recently. We just saw The Perfect Couple on Netflix, and we've binged it rapidly. And there's been also a number of series again on Netflix that were kind of UK. It was kind of interesting. One called Anatomy of a Scandal. We quite enjoyed.
I watched that as well. Yeah, good one. What are you listening to these days? Favorite band or music?
Oh, okay. Here's one that's been kind of catching fire on internet, a Quebec band called Engin de Poitrine, which is a very eclectic. It's almost impossible to describe. It's two musicians. They wear costumes. They play very weird music, but very strange. And you can't. I just keep wanting to see more of them.
Nice. That's a great one. And last but not least, what is something that you've purchased for under $1,500 that's had a positive impact on your life?
Oh, wow. Cross-country skis.
Another great one. Where are you located, by the way, Robert?
Near Toronto and Toronto near region. Yeah.
Okay. So some good cross-country skiing, I guess.
Yeah, the season's been pretty good.
Yeah. Robert, for people, we get your emails, of course. We're following along with RBC, but for people who want to hear more about what you're doing and what the team's doing, and you're putting out information almost well, it seems like every couple of days I get an interesting report. How can people learn more about what you and the team are doing?
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked. It's RBC Economics. We have a website. We have a LinkedIn handle as well. And you can subscribe to all our publications. And actually, we put them out just to inform all Canadians about anything about economics. I'm surrounded by a team of top-notch economists, and we're more than welcome for anyone to subscribe. It's absolutely free. You don't even need to be an RBC client or customer, and just go on our website, RBC Economics, and choose which report you want to subscribe to.
That's great. Well, hey, thanks again for taking the time today. Cool.
Thanks for the invitation.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion with Robert Hogue, Assistant Chief Economist over at the Royal Bank of Canada.
Really enjoyed that conversation with Robert, Matt. What a great, with just great analysis of the market and its current state, tons of takeaways. What do we have this week coming up that's super excited? I'm losing sleep. We've got Marcus Mose on the program. He is a professor from Waterloo.
Right,
and planning professor. And tons of amazing... Yeah, planning professor. Tons of takeaways from that episode. It's coming out next week. Lots of insight into how cities are changing across Canada.
That, Adam, we also got Josh White, chief planner at the City of Vancouver, coming on the show. We also have Brendan Lacerda from Moody's. We all know Moody's just downgraded the credit rating of the British Columbia of the province, right? Now, we can't talk to Brendan about that, but we do talk all things Canadian economy and the British Columbia economy. We got guests, man. We got guests coming like you wouldn't believe. So stay tuned.
All right. Anyways, Matt, well, this has been a great conversation. If anyone wants to find out more about what we're up to, or of course, the listings that we have that we talked about at the beginning of the show, where can they go?
Well, you can go to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com, Adam, and this is where we do like to say we have worked with hundreds of people from the podcast over the last decade plus. We're almost getting to the plus on how long the podcast has been running. If you listen, you find value, you would like help buying, selling, talking about real estate, you can head to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. We're always available. Or, of course, you can try me at any time, 778-847-2854, or Matt at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574, or Adam at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Fantastic. Well, we should say, of course, info at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com is the nonpartisan line. Great episode. Stay tuned for next week's. We're back. We're talking all things planning in the future of Canadian cities with Marcus Mose, and we'll see you next week.
Take care.
2,000 Spaces for Radio. Subscribe today.